We're doing Siddur HaKabbalah, and we were up to the Jews in Egypt. We left off where the Meiri had described how all of the Jewish people went off to do idol worship, or much of the Jewish people went off to do idol worship in Egypt, aside from the tribe of Levi. And now, V'yachmol Hashem al amo, lizkor lehem berit avot. God had mercy over his nation, and he maintained, so to speak, he remembered the covenant with the forefathers. Vayishlach Nevi Ha'emet Moshe Bechiro Alav HaShalom. He sent the true prophet, Moshe, his chosen one, peace be upon him. Vayotienu Mimitzrayim, and Moshe took us out of Egypt. Vinishlemu Azmin HaShanim Alpayim V'taf Mimchet. And the year we left Egypt was 2448. 2448 was the year we left Egypt. הנשארים לאברהם מבית הנפש אשר עשו בחרן. Miri says, from the time of that Avram got his prophecy of, from the time that Avram left with the people, the souls he made in Haran, you have 400 years. Question is why the Meiri refers to that year as that. Shehu zman hashlamat ha-shnei alafim ad leidat Yitzchak v'dalet me'ot shemi leidat Yitzchak ad yitziyat Mitzrayim. Because we said it was 2,000 years till Yitzchak was born, 2,000 years into creation, and 400 years from Yitzchak's birth to us leaving Egypt. So again, meaning we need 48 years. It was 2048 till Yitzchak was born, and then 2448 when we left Egypt. This has to be read a little bit differently. He says it was 2448 years since creation. The 48 years are the years that were left from when Avram left Haran to the time that Yitzchak was born. Avram left Haran in the year 2000. That's when he had his first vision. Then you need another 48 years till Yitzchak's born. Remember, we said Avram's first vision was when he was 52. Avram had Yitzchak when he was 100. So when he was 52, he had his first vision. That was the year 2000. We said the first 2,000 years of creation were years where God was not involved in the world directly too much. It was years without Torah, without guidance, a lot of paganism. And then we enter the next period of the next 2,000, which are the 2,000 years called the 2,000 years of Torah. And that begins with Avram at age 52, discovering Hashem in depth. And then 48 years later, when Avram is 100, so that's already the year 2048, he has Yitzchak, and that's when the count of 400 years begins. And now 2,448 is the 400 years from Yitzchak's birth when we leave Egypt. And he, of blessed memory, peace be upon him, received the Torah in the year 2,449, meaning a year after we left Egypt. 2,448, we left Egypt. 2,449, we received the Torah. Bevav b'Sivan, in the sixth of Sivan. Yeah, guys? Meaning we left Egypt 2,448. We went to Sinai. We heard the Ten Commandments. We stayed there a whole year until Moshe comes down with the Torah. Yeah? The Torah, says the Meiri, was the next year. V'limad dat et ha'am, and he taught the nation, izen mechiker, ad sheshivam le'emuna yishara. I'm not sure if he means the beginning of the receiving of the Torah was in 2449 or the conclusion of the receiving of the Torah.
When he's referring to the receiving, the gradual receiving, meaning
not
the
Sada? I don't know, because we say the 6th of Sivan, they received the Torah was the 6th of Sivan of the year 2448. So they discuss over here in the footnote, is this really a misprint? Should it have said 2448? To say that they stayed a whole year and they only received the Torah at the end of the year, we say they received the Torah then at Ma'amad Har Sinai. Huh? We count. Okay, that's from when they left Mitzrayim until they received. Right. So I don't know. That needs work. They offer different answers here. Maybe it's a misprint. Maybe it should say 2448. I don't know. When he met Datit Am, he taught the nation the understanding, the knowledge of Hashem and of the Torah. Took time for Moshe to teach the people about monotheism and what Torah is all about. The Jews had just left paganism in Egypt. It wasn't simple. First, he had to teach them that God exists. That was the first concept that had to be taught. And then they had to understand that God actually wants something of us. There is a Torah, there are mitzvot, there is a way of life. Like the Medrash says, a king walks into his city. So the people of the city tell him, tell us what you want us to do. So the king says, first accept that I'm king, then we'll talk about what I want you to do. Meaning that you're skipping a stage. That's what Hashem said. Before I give you any mitzvos, first of the Ten Commandments, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Shom Aleichem, I'm Hashem your God. First let's meet. First understand our relationship. I'm God. Oh, they say, Naaseh, we're ready to perform. Hashem says, no, wait a second, you're not yet ready to perform. You don't even know who I am. So let's begin with an introduction. I am Hashem your God. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, first of the Ten Commandments. Meaning, I believe in my existence. And only after you accept that I exist, then we can start telling you what to do. You can't have any other beings that you believe in other than God. And the remainder of the Ten Commandments. And this, I think, says the Meiri, is the understanding of what our sages taught us in the Talmud and Brachos. That when God says to Moshe, I'm going to destroy them after they serve the golden calf. Moshe argues, and finally God says, okay, but I'm still alive. What does it mean, but I'm still alive? So the Talmud says, Melamed shamalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, Hechitani Midvarecha. That it's as if God said to Moshe, in your claims on behalf of the Jewish people, you gave me life. Kilomar, as if to say, Shematani etzlam mimchuyav amtziyut. What God was saying to Moshe is, with your words, you gave me life in their eyes. The Jewish people did not recognize that I exist. You convinced them. You explained to them philosophically that I exist. Ki kmo shetziyur bitul mitziyut nifrad yikare bilshonam hariga. Because just like in Chazal terminology, whenever they want to describe philosophy that is aborted, they call it, the philosophy was killed. Killed doesn't necessarily mean physically killed. It could mean philosophically non-existent. Kamo shebe'anu, as we explained earlier. Ken ha'odaat amitot mitziyuto achar ha'adara mehim yikare derech mashal tchiyah. So too, when people do not recognize God's existence, and then you come and you explain to them philosophically, that's called, so to speak, giving God life, giving the concept of God life. That's what God was saying, you gave me life. You made my existence famous. And you gave it stance after they had forgotten it. And that's the first thing that Moshe alludes to in his first prophecy. Moshe comes to them and says, God sent me. What name does Moshe use for God? Anyone remember? Nope. He says, Ehyeh shelachani aleichem. What does Ehyeh mean? I will be. Natan Hashem itbarach al yado luchot habrit v'amitzvot. So this, as the Meiri, is an allusion, I will be, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu says, I have to explain to them why God must exist. I will be. You will understand that God has to exist philosophically. Natan Hashem itbarach al yado luchot habrit v'amitzvot v'atorah. God gave the Luchos, the Mitzvah, the Torah through Moshe. He gave famous prophecy that we have from God. Moshe's prophecy was whole. No other prophet ever had such prophecy, and never again will such prophecy exist. So you're going to ask, the verse says that God said to Moshe, Navi akim lahem, I will appoint a prophet for the Jewish people, mikerav achayim kamocha, from amongst their brethren, he'll be like you. What does that mean? Eninyan kamocha kedimyon godel erech halila. Doesn't mean of the same great value, God forbid. Sharei amar, velo kam navi od b'Yisrael kemoshe. The verse declares there will be no prophet like Moshe. Aval sheamar ze al min hanevuah. But God said about the type of prophecy, there will be another prophet just like you are a prophet. And we'll begin here, Be'ezrat Hashem, next week.